welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program called As It Is. We come to you 7 days a week with interesting and important stories from around the world. We always present our stories at a slightly slower speed, and we use a limited vocabulary. That means we use fewer words that are easy to understand. Today we have two items for you. The first examines problems between two of Africa's largest economies. Then, another look at the drug problem in Asia. This time, the Internet is involved. That's what we have lined up for you today from VOA. Let's get started. Nigeria and South Africa are no strangers to diplomatic disputes. Recently, the Nigerian government told its top diplomats in the South African capital to return home after a series of attacks on foreigners in South Africa. The South African government has sharply criticized the Nigerian action. Many South African officials have criticized the attacks on African immigrants. At least 7 people have died in the violence. Thousands of others were forced from their homes. The governments of 3 African countries helped hundreds of their citizens to leave South Africa after the unrest. The 3 countries are Malawi, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe. But the Nigerian government was the first in Africa to withdraw its top diplomats from South Africa. Nigeria's government says it did not officially order the diplomats to return home. It says they were asked to return to Nigeria for routine discussions. But that has done little to stop the sharp disputes between Nigeria and South Africa. This week, the South African Foreign Ministry released a statement noting Nigeria's failure to stop Boko Haram militants. The statement noted that thousands of people have died in the militants' campaign of violence against the Nigerian government. The South African Foreign Ministry also criticized Nigeria's actions after a church hostel collapsed in Lagos last year. The building collapse killed 84 South Africans. We did not blame the Nigerian government for the deaths and more than 9 months' delay in the return of the bodies, the ministry said. The diplomatic dispute demonstrates a complex relationship between Africa's 2 economic powers. Their open disagreement over who should head the African Union led to each country expelling the other's citizens in 2012. Those people were accused of using fake reproductions of yellow fever vaccination documents. Nigeria and South Africa also clashed over the South African science fiction film District 9. In the movie, Nigerians are treated like criminals and eat people. Nigerian government officials later banned the film. Nigerian officials are unhappy about the inclusion of South Africa in the BRICS group of developing countries. The group's other members are Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Nigerian officials also have objected to South Africa describing itself as the gateway to Africa. They note that Nigeria became the largest economy in Africa last year. Diplomatic relations between the 2 countries are cool, but business links have grown over the past 10 years. South African investments in Nigeria have risen 5 times between 2004 and 2010. Last week, Nigerians gathered near the offices of a South African telecommunications company to protest the attacks on foreigners. The protest took place in the city of Kaduna, outside the offices of MTN. One of the protesters, Yusuf Omoke, threatened to attack South African businesses in Nigeria.
If South Africans are not ashamed, if South Africans are not reasonable enough not to kill our people, not to destroy our businesses, then we Nigerians will also not be reasonable enough to leave their businesses to survive in Nigeria.
Shadrach Guto is a professor at the University of South Africa. He notes that both countries would very much like to be named to a permanent African seat on the United Nations Security Council. But the Council's current members have yet to approve such a seat. Professor Guto thinks relations between the two countries may improve after a change of presidents in Nigeria. You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Trafficking of synthetic or man-made drugs is growing across much of Southeast Asia. United Nations officials say the growth is being helped in part by rising demand and by use of the Internet. They want stronger controls on what they call precursor chemicals, those used to make synthetic drugs. Bob Doty has more on a recent conference held to discuss the problem.
The UN's Office on Drugs and Crime says drug production and trafficking is expanding in both East Asia and Southeast Asia. It also says the drug trade is diversifying, moving into new products outside international control. The agency says legal chemicals are being used in drug production. It says there is a growing need to stop that from happening. More than 200 government officials from 39 countries traveled to Bangkok for the conference, which was held this month. Jeremy Douglas is the agency's representative in Asia. He told the delegates the drug problem has worsened.
And it's important that this conference is here in Asia, where most of the precursor chemicals are produced, and where, as was pointed out, significant drug production is taking place. If we are to make headway on the drug production situation here and in other regions, we need to have effective international control.
Officials say Myanmar is the place where criminals produce the largest amount of synthetic drugs. The country is also known as Burma. The officials say traffickers bring precursor chemicals into Myanmar, then transport the drugs back across its mostly unguarded borders to markets in China, Thailand, and other countries. Thailand's justice minister spoke at the conference. Pai Boon Kum Chaya said there appears to have been little progress in recent months to control precursor chemicals in Asia.
In the year 2013, we raised awareness of all the countries, but we have not come up with the clear measure yet of how the manufacturing countries, importing countries, and all the relevant parties, how are we going to control precursor chemicals effectively in our region.
UN law enforcement officials say there are hundreds of synthetic drugs known as new psychoactive substances. They noted that just 10 of these have been listed as controlled substances, meaning sales are restricted. And they say many criminal organizations sell drugs on the Internet. This creates a problem for law enforcement. Jeremy Douglas told VOA, more Asian countries need to establish rules to control trafficking of precursor chemicals.
This is the heartland or the center point production. Asia is where the precursors are largely coming from.
Officials at the Bangkok meeting talked about developing an Asian policy for dealing with the problem. They also spoke about strengthening border security. The policy plans are being prepared for a UN General Assembly special session on the worldwide drug trafficking problem to be held next year. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. A policy dispute is taking shape in Washington over a government agency that helps exporters. On one side is the American business community. On the other side are conservative Republican Party lawmakers. Unless Congress takes action, the Export-Import Bank of the United States could be forced to stop accepting new customers at the end of June. W.S. Darley & Company is a 108-year-old family business. It makes fire trucks in the United States and sells them all over the world. The Export-Import Bank provides loans or other assistance to buyers of U.S. products. Peter Darley is Darley's chief executive officer.
And they can spread their payments out over a period of time, makes it more affordable.
Business leaders and officials say small companies making products from pickles to ice cream have received help from the Export-Import Bank. The bank's supporters recently met in Washington. They say U.S. exports would slow without help from the government agency. And that, they say, would hurt economic growth. The Export-Import Bank also provides help to big companies. The aircraft maker Boeing receives help from the bank. Boeing says it would have to move some of its manufacturing jobs overseas without the help it receives. But Delta Airlines has a different opinion about the government agency. Delta says the bank has helped foreign customers buy airplanes from Boeing at a lower cost than it can. The airline company says that hurts its profits and U.S. aviation jobs. Delta's concerns are one reason for planned hearings next month in the U.S. Senate. This week, the House of Representatives Financial Services Committee held hearings. Texas Congressman Jeb Hensarling is a Republican and chairman of the committee. Before the hearing, he said big companies get the majority of the bank's assistance.
That the smarter and fairer way to promote American exports is by fundamental tax reform, strong trade agreements, a regulatory freeze with the exception of health and safety, and greater American energy independence with projects like the Keystone Pipeline.
But supporters argue that the Export-Import Bank provides important help when competing with government-supported foreign companies. The head of the bank, Fred Hochberg, says his agency helps both large and small U.S. businesses.
Companies come to us and they say we either have to meet the competition because foreign governments are supporting our competitors, or we're selling in a market that conventional financing is simply not available.
Fred Hochberg says he is hopeful the Export-Import Bank will survive. He notes that 60 nations, including China and India, have similar agencies to support their exports.